Okay, so Parshat Emor. I titled this one Fractals in Vayikra. Why six shouldn't be afraid of seven. You all know the joke. Why was six afraid of seven? Because seven, eight, nine.
Seven, eight, nine.
There we go. Seven, eight, nine. So six shouldn't be afraid of seven. And as Jews, we definitely should not be afraid of seven. Seven is very important to us. And I want to talk tonight about the importance of seven. So we'll start with a comment of the Or HaChaim, actually, that's going to get the ball rolling. Everybody can hear me okay? Just want to make sure. Is it muffled or anything? Because the microphone is right in my face. Okay. So the Or HaChaim, Or HaChaim HaKadosh, so he writes, he makes a comment on Parshat Emor, towards the end. It says, Tzavet B'nei Yisrael. So this is talking specifically about the mitzvah mentioned at the end of Parshat Emor, that returns to the menorah. It starts talking about the shemen and lighting the menorah with the shemen. And he says as follows. He says, Tzarich ladat ma inyan mitzvat shemen v'hadlakato b'makom zeh. What is Parshat Emor about? Somebody give me a brief synopsis of what you know about Parshat Emor, the stories or the halachot that Parshat Emor covers. What does it talk about, most of Parshat Emor? Somebody tell me.
Kohen Gadol.
Good. Talks about the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim. All the Kohanim. Talks about Tumat Kohanim. It talks about blemishes, mumim. It talks about who they can marry and who they can't marry. All right. What else does Parshat Emor talk about? No. Some audience participation. Can't hide behind the computer screen.
Shabbat.
Talks about Shabbat, perfect. What else?
Chagim.
Talks about all the Chagim, thank you. Talks about all the Chagim, including Shabbat. So it talks about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot and Shabbat. It talks about everything. All right, what else does the Parsha talk about? Anybody know what's all the way at the end of the Parsha? What's the story? There's a story all the way at the end of the Parsha.
Mekalel. Parshat Mekalel.
Very good. There's the Mekalel at the end of the Parsha. All right, we're going to ignore the Mekalel at the end of the Parsha for now. But in the context of everything that's going on, we understand why Vayikra, you know, the flow, we were talking about Kohanim in last week's Parsha, so we continue to talk about Kohanim. And apparently it goes directly into the Parsha of the Chagim, because we're talking about the Chagim that you celebrate in the Beit HaMikdash. Why in the world does the Parsha then transition to the Shemen of the menorah? And then, by the way, right afterwards, it transitions to the Lechem HaPanim, Halachot about the Lechem HaPanim. What does that have to do with anything? That belonged all the way back in, I don't know, in Parshat, either in Vayikra itself, or in maybe in Tzav right afterwards, or last in the last Sefer, in Shmot, in Parshat Tetzaveh, or if you'd like, in Bamidbar, in Bahalotcha.
Bahalotcha.
Yeah, maybe in Bahalotcha. What is it doing at the end of Parshat Emor? Nothing makes sense before it. It doesn't make sense what comes before it, and it doesn't make sense what comes after it. So the Or HaChaim says he knows. So what does he say? He says, "Tzarich ledad ma inyan mitzvat shemen hadlakato b'makom zeh. Gam mitzvat ma'arechet ha'shulchan ma inyanu lekan." What does the shulchan lechem apanim have to do with this? Uma gam shekfar ne'emru advarim kichtavan b'mkoman b'mitzvat ha'mishkan b'mitzvat ha'av. Plus, we already talked about it. Not only does it not belong here, we already discussed it. Rashi zal. Pirush Mashpirush. Rashi says what he says. Vein b'dvarav darav maspik. And he's not satisfied with what Rashi says. And the Ramban says what he says. And he's not satisfied with what the Ramban says. So he says, v'ulai. He gives two answers. We're only going to talk about one. The other one I sent out on a WhatsApp, actually. Here he gives, v'ulai. Ki letzad shetziva mitzvat shvi'iyot. Pesach sheva yamim, Chag HaSukkot sheva yamim, Simchat Haminim sheva yamim, Gam Rosh Hashanah v'yom Kippurim yeshnam bebechinat hasheva, liotam b'chodesh hashvi'i. What does Parshat Emor consist of once it hits the section on Chagim? All sevens. It's sevens all the way across. You have Shabbos. You have Pesach, which is 7 days. Sukkot, which is 7 days. You have Rosh Hashanah, which is and Rosh Yom Kippur are in the seventh month. So there's all sevens. So what did the Torah say? The Torah said, well, if we're going to talk about seven, Lazeh Samach Lazeh, Gam Ken Mitzvah Tamenorah, Shehi Bechinat Sheven Erot. The menorah has seven candles. So it makes sense for us to bring it into the conversation about seven. Now it gets a little tricky. Gam HaShulchan Yeshno B'Sod Sheva. All right, before I read any further and don't look in, who wants to say, what does the Shulchan have to do with seven? Where is there a seven in the Shulchan?
The bread on the Shulchan stayed there for 7 days.
Okay, that's a very good answer. Anybody
else?
But
that's not what you're looking for.
That's not what I'm looking for or not looking for. It's not what the Or HaChaim says. It could have been, but it's not. So he says something a little bit strange, maybe a little bit dachuk. I don't know about dachuk, but it's a little bit of a stretch. Gam ha-shulchan yeshno besod sheva dechtiv sheish ha-ma'arechet va-shulchan ha-sduat alav shehu sod ha-mitkabetz bo sheish ma'alot v'hi mashlemet sheva. There are six. How many lachamim are there in total?
12.
There are 12, but they're in two sections. So there are actually six levels. So there are six trays, imagine, like in a bakery, six trays. Plus the shulchan itself. In other words, there are six trays that are on top of the shulchan. So the surface of the shulchan itself counts as a seventh surface. So there are seven surfaces having to do with the shulchan. All right, fine. So there's seven shulchan. I like them. I like my father's answer also, but that's what the Or HaChaim says. Alpi nistar, I guess. Vetimsa. Shetziva gam kein beparshazu mitzvat haomer. The Omer in Yonah Dioma, Shehu Sheva Shabbatot, Gam Mitzvat Shabbat. You have both the Omer and Shabbos. Nimseit Omer Shaklal Kol Mitzvat Shviyot Yachad Omar Kisodam Vikram Echad. The Torah wants to put everything that has to do with seven all together in this week's parasha. Now it's
is
not everything.
In this parasha?
No, but where is Shemitah? It's in next week's parasha. Right, next week's parasha is Bahar. Bahar B'chukotai, so it's in next week's parsha. So actually, I put over here, as we're going to see further, it doesn't really start over here. It actually starts a little while ago with the sevens. Excuse me. If you go back to Parshas Tazria, the Nesivah Shalom, we're going to see the Nesivah Shalom soon. He's going to point this out. If you go back to Parshas Tazria, it really starts over there. He points out that in Parshas Tazria, you have the Yoledet, who becomes Tameh for how many days if she has a boy?
7 days.
You have the Metzora, who is Tameh for periods of 7 days, for weeks. You have the Nida, who is also Tameh, for she has Shiva Nikim. Then you jump ahead to Parshat Emor. You have Shabbos, the Chagim, the Omer, plus the Menorah and the Lechem Apanim. And then next week you have the Shemitah and the Yovel. Okay, so there's a bunch of sevens over here. Now, in terms of mitzvot, that's pretty thorough. Maybe there are other mitzvot that have seven. We could talk about it. Anybody think of other mitzvot? Don't tell me other sevens in the Torah. Any other mitzvot that have to do with seven? Can anybody think of any?
Sheva brachot.
Sheva brachot. It's not daraita, but derabanan. Once you're going there, you could say the shivat yimei avelut as well. That's also probably only derabanan. Okay, if any pop up, we can mention them. But the theme of seven is one that we find a lot in Chazal. Does Hashem love seven? So this is actually a midrash here in Parshat Emor. He says, midrash says, Kol ha-shvi'in chavivin. All the sevens are beloved. What does he mean by that? So here, the midrash is gonna turn a corner a little bit, and is gonna say it's not the number seven that's important over here, but rather it's the seventh. In other words, the seventh is what is chaviv. Mm-hmm. Not like a set of seven. Not a set of seven. That's not what's important. But it's the seventh in the order that's chaviv. So it gives a bunch of examples. For example, le'olam le'malan. So this one's a little esoteric. This is based on a Gemara in Chagiga, actually, that says that there are seven rekiin, and it lists all seven of them. They have weird names. Rekia, Shchakim, Zvul, Ma'on, Va'arvot. That's the seventh one that the Gemara in Chagiga mentions. Uchtiv solo l'roche v'arvot b'shmo. That's the seventh one, so it's apparently the highest one. Ba'artzot, in lands. This one's also a little esoteric. I'm not sure what it refers to. Shvit chaviva, eretz adama, arka, gaya, tsiya, nishia, tevel. Uchtiv, v'hu yishpot tevel b'tzedek. Yadin le'umim v'meishon. Tevel is apparently a name of a land or a type of land, and it's mentioned in Tehillim. That's what we say in Kabbalat Shabbat. Now it's a little bit more clear. This should be a little more nigle, I guess. Bidorot, shvid chaviv. So this is interesting because it says, Adam sheit enosh kenan mahalalel yared chanoch. Chanoch is the seventh one. And by chanoch it says, v'yitalech chanoch et ha-Elohim. That's interesting because, you know, the tenth one over there is Noach. And then the 10th one after that is Avram, who are also not bad. So there's 7th, but fine. The 7th one is pointed out. Ba'avot Shvi'i. This one's very nice. Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Levi, Kahat, Amram, Moshe. Moshe is the 7th generation from Avraham. Chtuvu Moshe, Allah, Allah, Elohim. Bibanim, Hashvi'i, Chaviv, Shneemar, David, Hu, Hashvi'i. Here's a kicker. What does that mean, David, Hu, Hashvi'i? So first of all, tell me something. You see these words, David, Hashvi'i, which it says Shneemar, David, Hu, Hashvi'i. Where does this pasuk show up? Anybody know?
No.
Okay, so if you quickly do a Bar Ilan search, or you search with Google, you'll find out that this pasuk shows up nowhere. This is not a pasuk. There is no pasuk in Tanakh that says David hu Hashvi'i. What there is a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Can you still see? You didn't see me change my screen, did you? Okay. No. There's a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. It's in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Bet. Pasuk Tedvav, it says, Otsem Hashishi David Hashvi'i. So it's not David Hu Hashvi'i, but David Hashvi'i. Now, what does that mean? In what way is David the 7th? I was actually just researching this right before I came online over here. In what way is David the 7th?
Was he the 7th son?
So I found an article online on Aish.com. Where a very long, very nice article, we're going to quote something from it later on, where he says David is the 7th son, and he married Bathsheba. Very nice. He's the 7th son, he married Bathsheba, very nice. The only problem is that in Tanakh, who can tell me, how many people does Shmuel look at before he finds David?
None.
No, of course he looks at Yishai's sons, and then he's actually happy with the first one. He's willing to take the first one, but Hashem says, no, it's not him. And then Hashem says, no, it's not him. Not him, not him, not him. How many sons did he look at before he says to Yishai, do you not have any more sons? And then Yishai brings in the boy from the field, who's David. How many sons? Who knows? No?
Sounds like it should be 6, right?
Should be.
But it probably isn't.
It's not.
If it was 6, he would be too obvious.
Very cool.
He had 7 older brothers. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. He had 7 brothers that Shmuel looked at before Yishai brought in David. In other words, David, l'chora, is the eighth. Okay? So I looked in the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, how everybody brings this up. All the Rishonim try to figure out, what does it mean that he was Shvi? So I saw all different kinds of answers. There's some that quote Midrashim, that one of the other brothers came from another wife. Another Midrash says that David was not the youngest, and one of the other brothers was younger than him, so he was the 7th. I don't know. I mean, the Pashut Pshat in the Psukim in Tana, in Shmuel, is that he was the last one in some way. There are lots of nice Midrashim about why David was not counted in the first 7. Or at all. I mean, he's not counted as a brother, as a son of Yishai, if you look carefully. But either way, in some way, he is Shvi'i. Okay? That's based on the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Bemelachim Hashvi'i Chaviv, Shaul Ishboshet David, Shlomo Rechavam, Avia, Asa, Ochtiv Veikra, Asa El Hashem. So Asa was very special, and because he was the 7th. And then finally, we have Beshanim Shvi'i Chaviv, Shnevar Hashvi'i Teshmetana Vintashta, Beshmitin Shvi'i Chaviv. Shneemar ikdashtam et shnat ha-shachamishim. Bayamim, shvi'i chaviv. Shneemar vayarach alayim et yom ha-shvi'i. Baradashim, shvi'i chaviv. Shneemar b'chodesh ha-shvi'i b'chad ha-chodesh. Okay, b'chadashim is a little tricky because, I mean, all the chadashim kind of get a little bit of play. But either way, it looks like there's something special. There's something about 7 or the 7th over here. There's something special about the 7th over here. So we have to figure out what that is. So it's interesting. I saw this today. Somebody actually wrote a letter to the Rebbe. Asked the Rebbe. You can see what he was answering. He says, I was pleased to receive your letter. And you write that you have noticed that in the Torah and in Yiddishkeit, the number 7th occupies a special place, and you ask why. All right. What do you think the Rebbe is going to answer? He's going to give like a long, Kabbalistic, complicated answer, right? Everybody.
Seven sefirot.
Right, so who thinks that the Rebbe is going to give, I ruin these questions like this, but raise your hand either physically or virtually if you think the Rebbe is going to give a comprehensive, Kabbalistic, intellectual answer.
I don't think so. No, yes. Because I think, no, he won't because of who asked the question. Obviously, it's not somebody.
Okay, who... but he's writing this for posterity, you would think.
Okay,
maybe that's explaining things. But he says, you surely know that there are other numbers which are similarly significant and prominent. He says 10, 3, and others. As a matter of fact, there's hardly any justification in questioning God's ways as to why he has chosen certain numbers for special significance. For as you will readily understand, God's wisdom is beyond human understanding. The question may be asked, however, after God has chosen a certain number of days in which to create the world, namely the number 7, what can we learn from this? So he says, if you approach it like this, it's possible to say that inasmuch as certain categories of things and creatures were created on separate days, instead of every living being created in one day, each category stands out separately in the importance and the scale of creation. So man was created last on the 6th day is the most important creature, but the whole of creation was crowned with the 7th day, the holy day of Shabbat, which is a source of life and blessing for all the creatures, inasmuch as the Shabbat is the soul of the whole world. Okay, so since he created the world on the basis of this figure of 7 days, so there are many matters of Torah and Mitzvot which reflect this number 7. So in a nutshell, what is the Rabbi Rabbi saying about the number 7? Is there anything special about the number 7 itself?
No.
So then what's so special? Then why are there all these things that have 7? Is there nothing special about 7 at all? So it seems to me like Lichora, the Rebbe is saying something that we're going to see later, that the only thing special about 7 is that the world was created in 7 days. The world was created in 7 days. That's it. And so Hashem wanted to remind us of that. So there are a bunch of mitzvot that reference 7. See, he goes on. He says you may ask why things happen at 13 or at 12. And he says at the end of the day, this is not really our inyan. We shouldn't really be asking that. Clearly, God, who is creator, created the best possible order in nature and in human development. He says, why 7? Because 7's good. 7's good for these things. Okay? Not very, not a very satisfying answer if you really are bothered by the question. But he wanted to give a real answer. But let's kind of analyze what he did write. And this is a piece from the Nesivah Shalom. That's a Slonimer Rebbe. And he quotes, I don't know who this is actually. Whenever he says, Maran Admor Bava, it might be the Bava of Rebbe. I can't really tell. No. I don't know. But either way, he quotes him and he says, this is actually, I should be clear, this is from Parshas Tazria. This is actually not in our Parsha. This is Parshas Tazria. And he says, oops. Sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. I apologize. Here. On the Pasuk in Parshas Bahar, so in Tazria, he's quoting a Pasuk in Bahar, and we're smack in the middle. Shabbat. In all the levels of the world, of the creation, there is Shabbat. V'afilu b'chei ha'aretz. Shia darga nemucha biyoter. Ne'mar ba v'shavta ha'aretz Shabbat Hashem. There is even a Shabbat for the land itself. Shemitah. L'kol Yehudi yesh b'chinat Shabbat l'fi arko. V'afilu zehu b'chinat hanemucha biyoter b'chinat aretz. Gam ken yesh lo Shabbat Hashem. L'fachot pam b'sheva shanim. Says, this, the metaphor over here is that the aretz, which is the lowest thing, it's the most physical, corporeal thing, even that has a Shabbat. So it tells you that every single Jew has his own version of the Shabbat, from the highest to the lowest. V'abir b'zeh. Shabbat, like Lubavitch Rabbi said, is a day of complete soul and not of body at all. Shabbat is the soul of the world. You have guf, nefesh, ruach, and neshama. And that's the 7 days of building, that you had 6 days of creation, and that's 6 directions of the world, as we're going to get back to that later. And Shabbat is the day of the soul. It's a long piece. I don't want to read the whole thing. He quotes a different Or HaChaim that we're going to look at inside. But what he says is, Ukumo ba'adam, just like with a man that has a body, aval chiyoto hu mehaneshama, even though you can't see it, it's what gives life to the whole body. Let's take a look at the Or HaChaim he quotes. Look at this. This is Or HaChaim from Bereshit. Okay? From the description of Shabbat in Bereshit. The Ad Shabbata Shabbat V'amad Ha'olam. The world was lacking in staying power. It wasn't going to be able to survive. The world was going to end until Shabbat came and gave it the ability to continue. What does that mean? So he says, actually, if you look in the Torah, it says, Kisheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim ha-regila ki b'shat ha-briya lo bara Hashem koach ba-olam zulat lamod sheshet yamim. God created the world for 6 days, not only in 6 days, but he created it only to exist for 6 days. Sheshet yamim asa Hashem et ha-shamayim. He only made it to exist for 6 days. The Tama Nodalo, for whatever reason that he did. Gam Yadula de Demet, Vinitchakem Hashem, but then Hashem was clever, right? Ubarayom Achad, Hu Yadula Hashem, Ubobayom, Chose Hashem, Umashpia Nefesh Lolam. But then he comes back on the seventh day and is Mashpia Nefesh Lolam, Shi'ura Makayem Od Sheshet Yamim. In other words, he can only infuse it for 6 days. Obviously, the seventh day, Shabbat, he's there for the whole time. So on Shabbat, he comes down and he infuses it with another 6 days of creation. It would be destroyed after 6 days. It's only through Shabbat that the world continues to exist. It just reminds me that Rashi comments on the fact that when the world was first created, on the first Shabbat, what does it say? It says that that he right, but it says that he jumped in. Rashi comments that it's not clear whether he created on the sixth or the seventh day. Let me see. No, it's not in my Sidur. Okay, hold on 1 second. Let me just pull up a piece of Torah. And hold on 1 second. Sheet Aleph. Here. Right. Veichul Hashemayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am. Veichal Elohim b'yom ha-shvi'i melachto asher asa. When did Hashem finish the work?
V'hashvi'i.
Veishbot b'yom ha-shvi'i mekol melacha asher asa. I don't understand. Did he do work? Did Hashem work on Friday, on Shabbos?
Probably not.
But part of the work that he did on Shabbos was to finish.
But so he did work on Shabbos?
It says Vayishbot Vayom Hashvi'i means he said he rested.
Was resting.
So it's a little bit confusing. So Rashi points this out and he says, Maya Olam Chaser Menucha. Ba'at Shabbat Ba'a Menucha Kalta V'nigmara HaMalacha. Like you said, he finished the work by adding the Menucha. So it's almost like he did create the Menucha. But I don't know if that was the Rashi that I was thinking of. The Rashi that I was thinking of was where he comes in at the end of the day, like in Bein HaShemashot. Where is that Rashi? I'm not sure. There's a Rashi where he comes in. Okay. Either way, the point is, or according to the Or HaChaim, what happened over here? Hashem comes in on Shabbat and he infuses the world with enough life to continue for another 6 days until he comes down in the next Shabbat. So what's special about Shabbat? What is the essence of Shabbat? It provides life, it provides continuation, rejuvenation for the rest of the week, not only to us, but also to the whole world. It provides that. That's its essence. So the Neslana Rebbe in the Sivah Shalom, so he comes in and he says, this is what all the sevens are about. Zehu inyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu ohev shvi'iyot. This is what it means when the Midrash says that Hashem loves sevens. Inyan shvi'i romez l'shabbat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ohev shvi'iyot v'nei sh'ashabbat hi achiyut shal kol abriya. It's the life of the whole creation. And so he says, all the places where you find it, it has an aspect of this. So for example, he says, you have kachu ba'avodat Hashem. Sheyesh v'yehudi mitpalot tefilot rabot she'arkan namuch ma'od. There's a Jew who davens, and the truth is that most of his tefilot are very low. אך כאשר מתפלל תפילה אחת כראוי, מעלהו את כל התפילות, אפילו אלו שערכן אפסי, לסך עצום. He can take one tefillah and make it powerful enough that it elevates all the other tefillot that he said that were, you know, kind of limp and ineffectual. But derech ze hu hakoach shel shabbat kodesh shemaaleh et kol habriyah. It brings up the whole creation. Shekol ha'olam hu olam ha'sheker, v'natan kadosh baruch hu ha'shabbat yom ha'dinishmat shemaaleh et kol habriyah, shekol inyanei habriyah mehamadregot hagvohot v'ad habchinot hachi nimuchot, zman aliyatam hu b'shabbat kodesh. Shabbos has that power to bring everything up. But I wanted to point out is here. He basically is going to say that all of the places in, let's say in Tazria, where you have 7 days, so he says, why is a Yoleda to have a Tumah for 7 days? Why is a Mitzora Tameh for 7 days? Why is a Nida Tameh for 7 days? Why specifically seven? So the Rechaim says the Chiddush, that the idea is that if you have something that happens for 7 days, what are you guaranteed to have? Shabbat. You're guaranteed to have Shabbat. In other words, it's not the sevenness of it. It's simply that if you want to guarantee that Shabbat will happen, then you have to make something last for 7 days. So you have to guarantee that the Mitzorah goes through a Shabbat. You have to guarantee that the Nida, that the Yoledet goes through a Shabbat. And when you do that, then you can guarantee that they come out of their Tum'ah.
And I heard a Rav explain once that the reason that a bris is on the 8th day is because that guarantees that he goes.
That's right. Shabbat. That's what they say, the Shavu'ah Brach. That's what the
Shalom Zachar.
Shavu'ah Ben, the Shalom Zachar. That's right. What Tosla says. That the Shalom Zachar is because he goes through his first Shabbat, he gets rejuvenated. He's not depressed about coming into this lowly world anymore. Now, you could make the argument that the same is true for the Chagim. The reason why Pesach is 7 days, the reason why Sukkot is 7 days, is because Hashem wants to make sure that there's a Shabbat in the holiday. It's important that there should be a Shabbat in the holiday if you want to go according to this Nesivat Shalom. He points out also, Sheva Shabbatot Tmimot Tihyena, this is the Omer, we have 7 weeks of seven days. L'chol ha'pachot ha'shabbatot yu tmimot. What do you guarantee if you have 7 weeks of 7 days? Seven Shabbases. Umaran Aran Malkovitz Divach, I don't know what this is. Divach Vai Divach Chatsha Shabbat.
Divach Vi Divach.
Week by week?
Week by week?
Yes.
Chatsha Shabbos. Okay. Ke Shabbat Kodesh Malet Kol HaShavua.
Divach Vi Divach Chatsha Shabbat. At least there's a Shabbos in the week.
Oh, there you go.
Chatsha means at least there is.
השבת קודש מעלה את כל השבוע, והכנה לקבלת התורה היא שבע שבתות תמימות תהיינה. לכל הפחות השבתות, you can have 7 שבתות, שהם מעלים את הכל. וכמרמז בכתוב, בפרשת מצורע, להורות ביום התמי וביום התהור, יום התהור שבת קודש. So you can have a יום התהור. The יום התהור, according to the Nesivat Shalom, is שבת קודש. והתורה מלמדת לנו את הדרך לצאת מיום התמי, על ידי יום התהור. The way to get out of a יום התמי is to have a יום התהור. That when Shabbat comes, so all of the evil forces disperse and they run away. Because Shabbat is the day, the soul of the universe. It's the soul of the universe. So it's able to eradicate all forms of evil. Okay, we can jump over this one. But this Ramban talks about how you have also Yovel. Yovel is parallel to Shavuot, because Yovel is after having 7 Shemitot, so the 50th year is Yovel. And the Ramban actually explicitly says that there are deep, deep secrets over here that have to do with Geulah, have to do with Mashiach and Olam Haba, that after you have seven cycles, then you're going to have a Geulah based on Kabbalistic sources. But we'll skip that part. I wanted to point out, in this vein of all these different cycles, the idea of a fractal. Do you have any mathematicians on the Zoom that want to explain what a fractal is better than me? Anybody? Who knows what a fractal is? Okay, so I learned a little bit about this in college in computer science class, but I'll show you what the internet has to say about fractals. Hold on 1 second. Here, so this is Wikipedia on fractals. So in mathematics, You guys can see this page?
Yes.
Make it a little bigger. A fractal is a self-similar subset of Euclidean space whose fractal dimension strictly exceeds its topological dimension. All right, so now everybody knows what a fractal is.
That explains it very clearly, yes.
Very good. Okay, fractals appear the same at different levels. This is the key line. Fractals appear the same at different levels, as illustrated in successive magnifications of the Mandelbrot set. Okay, we're going to skip the Mandelbrot set. I'll show you some examples, okay? What's an example of a fractal? So,
A snowflake.
A snowflake is a perfect example of a fractal. I'll show you other good examples. Here, this is a nice example. Okay, if you take a triangle, all right, you take a triangle, and then you build around that triangle three triangles because it has three sides, right? So the first thing you get looks like this. The second thing you get looks like this. And if you keep going, it then looks like this. And then it looks like this. You see what's going on over here? You keep getting a bigger and bigger triangle. But inside of that bigger triangle is a bunch of smaller triangles that look exactly the same, have the exact same dimensions.
Dimension.
It's called a Sierpinski triangle. Here's another one for us Jews. You take a Magen David, right? And then you build around it. You can fit, I think it's six Magen Davids around it, I think. And then you keep going and keep going. But then look what happens if you keep doing that. What do you get? What does this figure look like? It's just another Magen David. No, it's another Magen David. It keeps looking like a Magen David. It's the same thing over and over, just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, or alternatively, smaller and smaller and smaller. But it's not just when you draw things or when you run. These are formulas. These are mathematical formulas. But it's not just that, because it happens in nature as well. See, this is a nice little unfurling fern, is what they call it. A snowflake, like my mother said, a snowflake is built up of fractals. It's one pattern that keeps getting bigger and bigger, but if you go microscopic, it's the same pattern over and over. You have this nautilus shell, all right? Gecko's foot. I don't know about this one. Okay, there's all kinds of fractals, and the idea is that you have dimensions or levels where you start very small, and then as you get bigger, you take the same image and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, but it's really based on one smaller image. And you have all kinds of instances of this in nature. I wanted to show you it a little bit in media. This is the last scene of the movie Men in Black. Okay? Everybody remember Men in Black with Will Smith?
Yes.
Okay? I don't know if you can hear this. Can you guys hear this? It's a little loud. So let me explain. The movie Men in Black consists of these agents who are part of a international organization that tries to protect the Earth from aliens. So they're aware of aliens. And the plot of the movie is that there's this little marble, okay, that everybody wants, because inside the marble there is a miniature universe. Okay, and I think a cat eats the marble, or it's hanging around the neck of a cat or something like that. And their whole point is to return the marble to its rightful owner. Okay? But here's the last scene of the movie after the good guys win. Take a look at what happens. Oops. I did a little too
They're in the marble.
Yes, that's exactly right. Okay, you've seen the movie. Take a look. It's zooming out of the Earth. Okay? And then what happens? It zooms out of the galaxy. And then, wait for it. Oh, look at that. It's a marble.
The whole thing is a marble.
Being controlled by an alien. And there are a bunch of other marbles. Sorry.
They're playing marble.
So what happened? So there's a marble inside of a marble, inside of a marble, inside of a marble, inside of a marble. Fractals. Okay? The whole universe in this metaphor is made up of fractals. So is this just in sciences? Is it just in media? Is it just in nature? So take a look. Rav Moshe Kodavero, great Kabbalist from Tzfat. So he had the following line. Who am I? I'm a mustard seed in the middle of the sphere of the moon, which itself is a mustard seed within the next sphere. So it is with that sphere. And all it contains in relation to the next sphere, so it is with all the spheres, one inside the other. Sphere over here is a sphera. And all of them are a mustard seed within further expanses. And all of these are a mustard seed within further expanses. You're always invigorated, the love in your soul expands. In other words, he is exactly what he's saying. He's saying we are all a little marble inside of another marble, inside of another marble. And there are other marbles inside of us. Everything is successive spheres. Now, how does this relate to us? So, also, mm-hmm. I wanted to show you something else. This is a little aleph marble, or aleph fractal. You see, this is a large aleph, and then someone took the aleph and they put the aleph bet inside the aleph, right? And then they made an aleph out of that. And then there's one other piece of art that I wanted to show you. Here is the tagin. Okay? Mm-hmm. And inside that is more tagin. Can everybody see that? That's a gif. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a nice little artistic expression of this idea, which, by the way, the letter Zion, right, is also, one of its meanings is crowns. So there's the Zionin on the Otiot. So it fits in nicely with the fractal that we just saw. Rabbi Sachs references this as well. When he writes in his Siddur, he says, within the story of Bereshit, you have the biblical account of creation. At the end of the biblical account of creation on Shabbat, it says they contain 35, 5 times 7 words. He's saying everything is going to be a multiple of 7. The entire creation narrative is constructed in multiples of 7. It contains 35 verses in total, which mirror the 35 words at mm-hmm. the end of Shabbat, right? In other words, you have 35 verses in total, and then there are 35 words in the description of the creation of Shabbat. The word Tov appears 7 times. The word Elohim appears 35 times. The word Eretz, 21 times, and which is another, you know,
multiple of seven.
The opening verse contains 7 words, the second 14, and the complete text, 469 words. Okay, which is 7 times 67. That one's a interesting one. From the Aviary outset, 7 dominates, but it doesn't just dominate. It starts out small, and then it gets bigger, but it keeps staying 7. Okay? It keeps staying 7. And I think that as we're in the period of Sfirat HaOmer, which is both in the Parsha and the period that we're in right now, so when you look in a Sidur, you have... you know, in most Sidurim, you have for each day, there's a Kabbalistic reference, you know, Chesed Shabbagvura, Gvura Shabbanetzach, etc., etc. What is that a reference to? So we have, in Kabbalah, we have 7 Sfirot. There's really 10 Sfirot. There's really 10 Sfirot. We cheat. We skip the top 3, but we'll ignore them for now. But there are 7 Sfirot that we're interested in, right? See if I can say them off the top of my head. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchut. So each day, is if you take one of the 7 and you connect it with another one of the 7, keeping in mind that you can connect it with itself, so you can have chesed shebe chesed. The reason for that is because, as Rav Moshe Cordovero said, Kabbalistically, inside of each sfira, there are 7 sfirot. And guess what? Inside of each of one of those, there are another 7 sfirot. Okay? But the point is that we celebrate that on Sfirat HaOmer by saying that we're going to take the 7 days, which are representative of the 7 sfirot, we're going to acknowledge that each one of those 7 connects to a deeper 7. We're going to unpack those. And then only when we get through those, then we get to the 50th day, which is Shavuot. I have 2 more points that I want to make. One of them is the word 7 in Hebrew is Sheva. What is the deeper meaning of Sheva? So I've seen 2 understandings. One is Sheva is related to the word Shvuah. Shvuah as in a vow or swearing. So this is based on a pasuk in Bereshit, which actually makes this pretty clear. It says, Alkein kara l'makom ahu be'er sheva. This is when Avram and Avimelech make a deal. Sorry, when
Avram
and Avimelech. And Avimelech, is it Yitzchak or Avram? Avram and Avimelech make a deal. Yeah, Alkein kara l'makom ahu be'er sheva. Kisham nishbe'u shnehem. Okay, there's supposed to be some kind of explanation here. Now, you could say that it's just they wanted to be remembered, reminded of the Shavuah, so they took a word that sounded like Shavuah, and they called it Be'er Sheva. But many understand that actually Sheva and Shavuah are deeply connected. So Rev Daniel Baron, this is the Eish article that I was referring to before, he says the key connection between Sheva and Shavua lies in the meaning of a Shavua. An oath is an affirmation that one's statement today accurately describes a past event. I don't think that part's so relevant. What is relevant is, in the case of Avraham, the oath and the city named for it to this day would forever verify the covenant between Avimelech and Abraham. In other words, it's a fusing. Shvuah over here is a special kind of shvuah because it connects two people in a covenant, in a deal. In Judaism, the number Sheva does the same thing. It's the thread that fuses things to their source. So he says, for example, with regards to Shemitah, Shemitah is a means for connecting everything back to its source. As we grow further in time from the point of creation, we need Shemitah to bring us home. Just when creation seems a faded memory, we feel that mankind runs the world. So Shemitah brings a Shabbat to the land that changes everything. It returns us to their source. Shabbat is the same, by the way. What is the word Shabbat, ultimately? What word is in Shabbat?
The word is in Shabbat? Lashevet.
Yeah. Lashevet, or?
To rest.
Or Lashuv.
Shemitah.
Lashuv. Okay. Right, tshuva. Shabbat is a tshuva. We stop working, and we return to our natural state. We let the world return to its natural state. So the connection between Shabbat, between Sheva and Shavuah, rather, over here, could be that it references an idea of returning to its original source or fusing back to its original source. The other possibility is sova. Sova is satisfaction or
satiety.
Completion. Yeah, being, yeah. So Rabbi Eitan Feiner, so he says that the Maharal points this out. I didn't see this line in the Maharal. Actually, if you look at this article, he it's a crazy article. He finds, like, I don't know, 200 different ways of finding seven in Torah, in Tanakh, in Chazal. He's an incredible mind. So he writes over here that it has to do with fullness, right? Sova smachot. So seven has to do with fullness. Now, what is that? What is that reference? So the truth is, it's not so different from what we saw before. I'll show you this Maharal. So the Maharal says, the Maharal is where you want to look for when you want to understand what numbers mean. So the Maharal says, Shageshem yesh lo chilufei vav tzdadim. In physical reality, you have six directions. You have up, down, left, right, forward, and back. Okay? In three-dimensional space, that's what you've got. Mata, yamin, small, panim, achor. There's a vector. Each one reaches a point where it reaches its destination. However, it does not go in any directions. There's the seventh point, which is the inner point. It's the middle. And the middle has no physical manifestation. It's hidden because it's in the middle. It's hidden and it doesn't exist in physical space. And therefore it's special. And he says, you have the same thing in time. So in the space-time continuum, where space is related to time, you also have 6 days. And a shvi'i is kadosh. V'nimsa kishiva yemei shavu hem domim l'geshem v'pashut sheyesh lo shisha k'tzavot v'amtzei shebishneem zeu anyan sheshit imechol v'hashvi'i heu ha-kodesh. So you could apply the same principle apparently to the 7 days of the week. You have 6 days of the week which are very physical. You're running around in all different directions going out into the world. And then what's the seventh day all about? It's all about returning. And in a way, it's about being satisfied with everything that has gone on and saying, all right, I'm going to stop there. We're finished. We're finished for now. And the seventh day, I'm going to sit and I'm not going to work anymore. I'm not going to jump around. He connects this also to the Omer. He says, Chag HaShavuot Kedushato Shayamim Mitalim Ad HaChamishim Ki BePesach Kanu Yisrael Ma'alatam Ba'atzmam Hi Ma'ale Alukit Shenikret Matzah. He says, on Pesach, we acquired a special divine level, which is called Matzah. Fine. And that's why we have the mitzvah of matzah. But b'chag haShavuot kanu amala nifdelet asichlit b'chodesh ziv shehu muchan lekabel or haTorah lachach haya b'yom haChamishim kedei sheyem mispar sheva Shavuot b'yom haChamishim hu od sheva Shabbatot. That was a special level that came out of combining 7 different weeks that made us ra'ui to accept the Torah. I think it's interesting of all of the Chagim, all of the Chagim have a special date mentioned in the Torah, right? The 15th of Nisan, 15th of Tishrei, the 10th of Tishrei, the 1st of Tishrei, but Shavuot doesn't get a date. Why does Shavuot not get a date?
So the name itself is Shavuot.
Right. So I would argue that the reason is because Shavuot, the day that we celebrate it, is not because the day is special, but rather because we spent the time in 49 days of elevation. That's why it doesn't have a date, because the date is not important. It's simply the date of Pesach is important because it starts the process, but then the process itself takes us to the 50th day, and that's why we celebrate Shavuot on the 50th day, not because the date is special. I want to end just by posing a question. After everything that we've seen, because I'm not sure, what is so special in the end of the day about seven? Because I think we've seen at least two explicit explanations. There could be a third. The first explanation is simply Shabbat. Shabbat is special. And as the Or HaChaim said, and the Tivot Shalom said, God created some kind of system whereby Shabbat creates, or rather, provides the world with enough life force for another 6 days. And so whenever you have something that takes place over a course of a time period, you want to make sure to make it seven to make sure that you get in a Shabbat. How well does this work for all of the mitzvot? I'm not sure. He explained that it worked for Metzora, it worked for Nida, etc., etc. How well does it work? Are there any other mitzvot of seven that we're missing? Maybe not 7 days.
Shiva,
you could make the argument that Shiva, you know, you want to make sure that the person has a Shabbat for the Shiva. Although again, it's only Derabanan to have 7 days, similar to Sheva Brachot also. But you could make the same argument there. Are there any other sevens that maybe don't have to do with days?
Hours.
What?
The menorah has seven candles.
That's right. The menorah, we did mention that, and the seven and having to do with the lechem apanim. That doesn't work so well. I don't think that works so well. It has nothing to do with Shabbat itself. So there, I think we could use the second explanation.
Yeah.
Sorry, that what was that, Ravid?
Nope,
I didn't hear.
Betvilah, the gam. The minhag.
What minhag? Tvila or tvila?
Tvila.
Tvila isn't going into the mikveh? You mean nida? You mean for nida? Yeah. So again, you could say that a person needs to have a Shabbat. You can say that a person needs to have a Shabbat there. A woman needs to have a Shabbat in order to really get out of, to attain a special level of Tahara. You can make that argument. The other argument that you could make is that what makes seven special is what the Maharal is talking about, which is, it's not about Shabbat per se. It's about this idea that you have six and then a seventh point kind of brings it all home, that you need to have the full structure, need to have the 3D physical structure, and then you have to have an internal seventh point to give it its spiritual strength. You always have to have seven, because without seven you only have a physical world. In order to have a spiritual element, you have to have seven. The other argument is completely Kabbalistic, to say all these things are just based on seven sefirot. The reason why we have so many sevens is because there are seven sefirot. And we want to reference the seven sefirot in all these different areas of halacha. Be that as it may, I just think it's a fascinating set of circumstances, mitzvot, examples, where the number seven comes up in so many different places, and also in so many different manifestations, like I was saying with the fractals. So you have 7 days. Let's say you have 7 days of Pesach. And then the 7 days of Pesach all of a sudden morphs into 7 weeks until Shavuot. You have in 7 years of Shemitah. And then when you zoom out, those 7 years of Shemitah become seven sets of 7 years, which eventually becomes a Yovel. According to the Kabbalah, you have seven millennia, right? You have 6,000 years, and then the seventh is going to be the Geula, whatever that means. It's going to be Yumat HaMashiach, whatever that means. So you have, not only is the number seven important, but the number seven kind of multiplies by itself and becomes a larger seven. And I think it's beautiful. Anybody have anything they want to share?
It's quite clear the 14 days of Bidud was not coincidental.
What did you say?
14 days of Bidud.
Bidud.
Are we coming up on four? When do we hit 49 days? I guess we're probably past it already. Yeah.
If you'd like, I could mention I saw a midrash once on Parshat Noach that there are four people mentioned in Tanakh who were referred to as Tam or Tamim. Noach was Noach Ish Tamim. Avraham, Tamim Heye, whatever the word is.
Yeah.
Yaakov is Ish Tam Yoshev Oalo. And David refers to himself as in Shirat David, Tamim Hayit Yom Hashem, Yom Elokim. And each of them, for example, Noach, after the Mabul, lived 350 years, which is a multiple of seven. Avraham, after his Bris, I think, lived a multiple of seven. Yaakov, I'm not sure how many years he lived, a multiple of seven. And David lived 70, another multiple of seven.
Right.
Yeah.
Unmuted.
Huh?
Very interesting.
What about the Imahot and the Avot?
They have seven all together.
Uh-huh.
Total seven. That's right. There's seven Imahot. That's right. Good point. Who's the seventh son of Yaakov? Is it Yisachar?
Done.
Yeah. Yeah, is it done?
Done.
Okay. He doesn't get such great press, done. From Chazal. All
right. Seven Ushpizim.
That's right. The seven Ushpizim, the seven shepherds. That's connected to the seven Sfirot. Yeah, so I think what we wanted to work on tonight was to try to understand maybe a little bit why the number seven keeps coming up, to ignore the Lubavitcher Rebbe's advice. And try to figure that out. So partly we listen to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It could just be about Shabbat, which is the first seven in the Torah, is Shabbat, and it could all come back to that. Or as we said, it could be connected to what the Maharal said, which is that there's six directions to go in, and then the seventh is an internal direction, and so seven is inherently kind of returning or encompassing everything. It's a way of internalizing the other six that you're dealing with, and perhaps it's just connected to the seven sfirot in Kabbalah. All right, a little bit shorter. Shkoyach, everybody. Shabbat shalom. I hope to see some of you in shul this Shabbat.